Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this.
Sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel,
"How will this be, since I am a virgin?"
And the angel answered her,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God."
And Mary said,
"Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
And the angel departed from her.
Oh, come, oh, ye faithful.
Mary said,
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Holy.
Same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another,
"Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying,
"Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him,
"In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you've found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Star.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ."
Moment together. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives, in our world. We know that the testimony of everyone in this room who has said yes to your invitation is that while we were yet sinners, you came to us, gave your life for us, that you pursued us before we were in pursuit of you because of the gift of your Son to us, because of the sacrifice of your Son, laying down his life on our behalf. We have been granted the gift of righteousness. I would ask that our eyes would be ever more aware of you, that our hearts would be ever more inclined to you. That you would enable our ears to hear from you. Would you meet with us now? In Jesus' name. You made it. I only got stuck twice on the way here. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to read to you a Christmas homily. A gray-bearded man operating a small excavator turns off the motor, climbs to the ground for a break from clearing trees from a soon-to-be residential property. And while pulling a sandwich from his mini cooler, he makes an offhand comment to his friend. A few of those trees would have made great little Christmas trees. After a few seconds of pause, his friend adjusts his green baseball cap and replies, "Yeah, we don't do Christmas trees." "You don't do Christmas trees? Well, you sound fun." The man in the green hat ponders his words for a few moments. "Well, Christmas trees have roots in pagan practices, and we just decided not to incorporate them into our Christmas traditions." The man with the gray beard looks confused, a little bit annoyed. "Well, first of all, I don't even know what that means. Second, it's just a tree, no different than a potted plant in the house." "So do you put up a tree each year?" "Yep, right in the living room. It's a fake one with about 1,000 lights that stands 9 feet tall and cost way too much when we bought it. But it does make the house brighter on those dark winter days. And the kids like it." The man in the green hat shrugs. "I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Christmas tree. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with Christmas." "Yeah, well, neither does ham, and I'm planning to eat several slabs on Christmas Eve." A young mother of three sporting a new navy Patagonia is herding her young children down the pickle and olives aisle of her local grocery store. Her youngest is strapped snugly in the front of her cart, her four-year-old is riding on the front end, and her oldest is bumping into nearly every other shopper as he points to all of the items on the shelf he wants his mother to buy. As she rounds the end of the aisle near the check stands, she bumps into another mom she knows from her oldest kid's school. "Oh, hey there. Oh my goodness, I love your coat." "Oh, thank you. It was an early Christmas present to myself. And my goodness, your kids are so adorable. Hey, mister, I love your Christmas sweater." For a brief moment, they exchange kind compliments. The young mom, feeling suddenly confident in her fashion sense, offers to her friend, "Hey, we're headed over after this to do some pictures with Santa. You're welcome to bring your girl and join us if you have time." Thank you. That's really kind. We don't really do the whole Santa thing, but it was great to see you." The young mom in her navy Patagonia suddenly feels a little embarrassed. "Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. It's not like a big thing for us either. It's just a fun outing for the kids, you know, instead of staying indoors." "Oh, no, I totally get it. Say hi to Santa for us. Merry Christmas." Feeling her face getting slightly flushed with embarrassment, at that moment she realizes her six-year-old has wandered out of sight. "Sorry, I just lost my kid. It was great to see you too." Standing over the bed, Grandma surveys the landscape of gifts piled across the duvet. She mutters to herself while alternately counting on her fingers and pointing at the different piles of presents. Well, that's unfortunate. What's unfortunate? Her husband asks from a chair in the corner of the room. While squinting through reading glasses at a small laptop screen, he momentarily glances over her lenses in her direction. I missed one. You missed one what? I missed a gift. Grandpa quickly scans the piles of kid-friendly items scattered on the bed. Seems like plenty of gifts to me. Well, I forgot a medium gift for Landon. Grandpa furrows his brow. A medium gift? What's a medium gift? Am I supposed to get you a medium gift? Grandma continues to sort through the piles. Each of the grandkids get a main gift, a medium gift, a small gift, and a stocking stuffer. It needs to be equal. But I forgot a medium gift for Landon. Oh, I don't think Landon will care. Well, that wouldn't be fair. No one gets left out. I need another boy's medium gift. Grandpa looks back at his laptop screen. You could skip a medium gift for all of them. That would be fair. Oh, don't be that way about it. You know I like to do a little extra for the kids. Grandpa sighs and his voice softens. Yes, I know. Extra for the kids. Every year, a little more extra for the kids. For many, the Christmas holiday will come and go with little a thought about what it is that we celebrate. For others, maybe for those of you here today, it means something more. And yet that more is at times difficult to put your finger on. There's a sense that some of the traditions we uphold do not adequately bring attention to what really matters. You may find yourself thinking, we should be doing a better job at celebrating this holiday. We should be more thoughtful, more intentional with our celebrations. For the serious ones, there's a sense that we can do better. And there is a sense that we are not doing better. Often the better that we seek turns into a reduction to particular forms. Maybe we should do more of this or less of that. Are you doing Christmas correctly? Are we honoring the reason for the season as he would want us to? Of course, you always say Merry Christmas, never Happy Holidays. Get that right. Maybe we need less Santa and more nativity. Maybe more serious and less festivity. Here's an idea. Let's cure this holiday of consumerism and cancel all the gifts. But then again, Jesus was the greatest gift. And of course, there was the wise men with their precious gifts. Okay, new idea. Let's do extravagant gifts this year. That sounds better. Ooh. Big, extravagant gifts, but we give them all to the needy. Yes, and the money we spend on trees, we give to the needy. And the Christmas ham, we give to the needy. Wait, what? What do you mean I'm not invited to your Christmas party? Oh, I was supposed to bring gifts, and the kids too. Okay, maybe we'll do some gifts. But we need to make sure the kids don't think it's all about the gifts, so let's sit them down with their gifts in their laps, crisscross applesauce, and we'll read the Gospel of Luke before they get to open them. Somehow we need to do Christmas more correctly. But what would make it better? For some of you sitting in this room, what would make it better is to have even just a few dear friends with which to spend the holiday. And yet for others, you want nothing more than to escape. Family drama escalates as Christmas approaches. So many expectations, so many personalities. And for you, Christmas would be better alone. Does anyone really know how to do Christmas correctly? And yet in all of the effort to solve the riddle of doing it right, a deeper riddle is manifest, and it's the one I believe really driving our dissatisfaction with the current state of things. Maybe our frustration with Christmas stems from a lack of a deep sense of connection with the God of Christmas. Your heart is not overwhelmed and overjoyed by the reality of the love of God. And why is it that while celebrating a holiday in His honor, amidst all of the festivities, we find even less time for Him? Maybe your frustration with the holiday comes from a deeper source. I think Christmas has a way of laying bare the true condition of our hearts. The problem is not the cultural trappings surrounding the holiday, although that is much more convenient of a place to lay the blame, and fixing the forms of Christmas will not fix the conditions of our hearts. God came to us. God, the Creator, the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God, came to us. Motivated by perfect love, He lowered Himself. He set aside His divine privileges and joined us in the flesh in order to save us. Heaven gave us a gift, the Son of God. He came as a light into our dark world, into our world full of evil and brokenness. He came bringing life and hope and peace and joy. He gave Himself to us and for us. And Christmas reminds us of His extravagant gift and reminds us of our own feeble love for Him. It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest. He conquered sin and death, and I'm standing in the store aisle trying to decide how many strings of lights is enough. So I take out my frustrations on the various forms. Let's try more of this, maybe less of that. None of it seems to work. I'm just not sure that we're doing it correctly. It's recorded in the Gospels that one of the religious leaders, who was also a lawyer, asked Jesus a question in order to test Him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "That you would love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." And the close friend of Jesus makes this confession in his first letter, 1 John 4:19. "We love because He first loved us." So teacher, how do we fix Christmas? And our Savior, as He often does, replies with a question: "Do you love me?" His desire is that you would respond to His love with loving kind, with all of your heart, strength, soul, and mind. The problem of our casual attitude towards this sacred day, the ever diluted symbolism, the corrupting power of consumerism that plagues our cultural celebration, cannot be solved with rigid structures or forms. No. He is the answer. And this is why a weary world rejoices, wearied by our always insufficient efforts, rejoicing in the sufficiency of His efforts. And when the love of God is first, when the love of God is my life's reward, when the love of God is all sufficient, something amazing happens. I see Him everywhere. I see Him at work. I see Him working. I find him in the sacred and in the mundane. I experience him in every interaction and in every relationship. And when my heart is shaped and formed by the love of God, with a love for God, I become the light of God in our dark world, whether on the job site, in the grocery store, or at home with loved ones. His kindness, his goodness shine through me. And now let me close with this. In the words of the Apostle Paul, a man whose life was dramatically transformed by the relentless love of God, he says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore all died, and he died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh, even though we have known Christ by the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. And all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Would you take a moment with me and bow your head and just connect with your Savior? We confess our many distractions. We confess our cold hearts. We ask that you would come, that you, by your Spirit, would fill our hearts with love divine. That first transforms us and then transforms our world. We invite you now. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Jesus has come in the flesh, giving his life for each and every one of you. Most of the time, we spend all of December thinking about what we're going to get for me. What am I going to get my significant other? What am I going to get my wife? It's like the most important thing. Have you ever considered, what do you get Jesus on his birthday? Do you know what it is? John 1, he says, "I put on flesh, I came, I was the true light to all of men so that you might know me. That's the gift that he's after, is for your heart to be open to him. For some of you, you've said yes to Jesus, yes again and again, but maybe now, right now, is the time when it becomes real. When you really give your whole heart to him and celebrate what he's done on the cross. If that's you this morning, I ask you to pray with me. Father, I ask that you would cover me in your blood, that you would take all of my sin, and that in these next few moments, days, God, would I experience your love in a magnitude that I have never before, and that I would ask for you to fill me. I give you all of me. In Jesus' name. Merry Christmas, guys. Hope you have a wonderful day today and tomorrow. We're going to spend a few minutes tearing down, and then we're all going to go celebrate. So if you don't mind sticking around, if not, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day.